Well, good morning. Try that again. And great to see everybody this morning. We had a great time in the first service. I'm believing God to do some amazing things in this service. And, I appreciate you being here. You know, how many of you feel the hot summer heat is coming on right now? You know, I'm a guy who perspires a lot. And during these times like June and July, oh, Lord, yeah. I always ask people, is the AC on? And they look at me, Coach, it's on. Well, I can't feel it because I'm all. That's why I have this personal fan over here. I told the worship guys, leave it there because that's specifically for me here. We're going to continue the series on part two on Prevail, Victory for Your Family. And how many enjoyed the message last week by Pastor Evan Carmichael, you know, and how, you know, things erupt in our lives. But God is still God and He's there for us, even in those moments. And well, we're going to continue. We're going to talk about the key to prevailing relationships. But you see, the most important relationship is with Jesus. You've probably seen in the news, we had two high profile people who actually committed suicide, and it kind of rocked our world. And, you know, there's a picture on, you know, Anthony Bourdain, the chef, and Kate Spade with all, you know, those accessories and bags. I mean, these two individuals, they have everything in life. They've had success and things have gone in their life the way they wanted to. But all in all, in all the success, there is still a hollowness and emptiness inside. Why? Because success is not enough. We'll never thirst to quench or quench the thirst that's inside you. The only person is Jesus. That's why we need Jesus in our lives. See, it's not about making all the money and being successful. It's about really connecting with Jesus because He satisfies us on the inside. How many of you know on the outside, things may not be going good, but on the inside, you have a confidence in God because you know you have a relationship. Do you know that you have a relationship with Him today? If something happened to you today, God forbid, would you be with the Savior? See, before you be with the Savior, you have to understand that you need to be saved. And you can't be saved through mom or through dad or through your friends. You're going to have to stand before Jesus. And let me tell you what, no one else is going to stand with you. You're going to have to stand by yourself and give an account of the way you live here on this earth. We don't want to come to the end of our life or we end our life with everything but Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus and none of the other things. Because Jesus is the whole reason why I can have the hope and confidence that I'm going to live forever with Him. I'm confident about that. Are you confident about your relationship with God? People say, well, how do you know that if you die, Pastor Coach, that you're going to heaven? I just know and I know and I know. I know because I have a relationship with Him. That's what we're talking about. Before you can have prevailing relationships with others, you have to have a relationship with God first. And God is all about relationship. I'm not preaching religion here. If you knew, I don't want to disappoint you, but I'm not talking about religion. Religion is all these rules and regulations and men's efforts trying to be right with God. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Christ. That God initiates. I'm not trying to get to God. I'm just trying to let the Lord get to me. Some of you, He's knocking at the door of your heart. You're not here by accident. He's knocking, and he's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is not going to force His way in. He's knocking. And you have the decision and choice to open the door. And I pray through this service, you would open the door of your life and allow Him to come in. Can I hear an amen, somebody? Amen. God desires relationships that prevail in love and unity. The great apostle Paul, while he was in prison, he was writing the book of Philippians. And I like the book of Philippians. It sounds like Filipinos, you know, the book of Filipinos. You know. I just get excited. I just have to let you get into when I read the book of Philippians. Yeah. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, how many of you are encouraged in your relationship with Christ? Any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one and in one mind. See, the great Apostle Paul is trying to talk to the Philippians and say, hey, man, you know what? You guys have to have unity and have love for each other. See, it's not just about doing things for God. It's about being in relationship with God and with others. Sometimes we can think that all God cares about is our religious behavior. Oh, I go to church. I go to small group. I give. And thank God for that. But what God wants in our lives, He wants us to tend the relationships around us. He wants us to be in right relationship with others. What brings God joy is how we relate to one another. The whole Bible is about loving God and loving others. We cannot neglect the latter. You know, parents' greatest joy is when they see their kids love each other and get along. How many know what I'm talking about, parents? Yeah. Well, you know, I've been with families when one of the parents has gone home to be with the Lord, and when I get called into those meetings sometimes with family members, with siblings, and I'm really shocked to find out that there's a lot of bickering and fighting. And I gotta say, hey, hold on everyone. Just imagine your mom or your dad is looking down right now. They're seeing all of this. It's not about what you want. It's about what mom and dad wanted. It's about what God wants. I say that because I see that a lot of times, you know. It's a kind of amazing or intrigued to see how when people get into money situations, they turn different. I have to tell them, you didn't earn that money. Your mom earned that money. And she brought it for a blessing to you guys, not a curse. And you have to get together and love one another. I'm saying that. I didn't say it in the first service. Someone needs to hear that. It's about loving each other. It's not myself, what I want. It's what God wants. See, the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, you can follow along with me, we love because He first loved us. Let me tell you, your ability to love comes from God. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister, it's a strong word here, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. You can't say you love God if you don't love your brothers and your sisters. It's very, very simple. You know, when people tell me, I love God, I'm in love with God, but I just can't stand that person. I hate that person. Let me tell you what. You're not experiencing the love of God. You're experiencing religion. Because if you truly receive the love of God, you'll begin to see that person from a different perspective. You begin to see beyond the facade and the mask and the exterior, and you begin to see the brokenness in their heart. And when you begin to see the brokenness in their heart, then there comes a compassion. Why? Because we are all broken people. You begin to identify with their brokenness. And hey, yeah, you might have a hard time loving them, but God will give you the ability to love them. And some of you are right there. I tell a story that I've tell it many times. When I was first a Christian, I grew up in Kalihi, and I grew up in a very rough neighborhood, living in the housing projects, and we grew up with this hate in our hearts for Caucasian people. Okay, Well, in, you know, I have to say those things because we are on podcast, right? Caucasian. But really, it's Howley's. Now, I love Howley's now, okay? God has done such a redemption inside of me, trust me. But back then, oh Lord, yeah. So one day I decided to play basketball with the church people. And I thought, wow, it's going to be great, man. All the church guys, they must love each other. And oh God, did I find out when we started playing basketball, love was nowhere to be found. Everybody's very competitive. And I grew up in a basketball family. I played high school and, I was pretty good. So I thought, wow, I better start playing really hard because everybody's playing hard here. And then, so I remember playing and I had this one guy on my team and he was not Filipino. Okay. He was Caucasian. And, so he started telling me what to do, how to play. And I look at him, I say, what high school you played for? And he said, well, I played for Grace Bible. I said, I never heard of it. That was a joke, okay? Because Grace Bible back then, the church and the old church, we had a high school. And so he kept trying to tell me how to play. And, you know, I'm 5 feet even with my shoes on. But I can play pretty good, okay? But I also came from Cali, so I don't like when somebody trying to tell me how to play. So I start looking at him like, brah, I better explain that. Brother. Before back then, let me tell you, everybody was brother this, brother that. I was like, oh, brah, you know, I just give him the brah. But what happened is I remember him looking at me and then he started telling me what to do. I said, hey, just, you know, I just kind of gave him a piece of my mind. I've done that many times before and God blessed me that I still have a piece of my mind left, you know. But I just gave it to him. Then he came up to me. He swung at me. Now, I know how to fight, okay? I'm not stupid. I know when somebody swings at you, you better duck. So I ducked, and he missed me. And I looked at him after, let me tell you, eyes of fire. And Jesus was nowhere in my thoughts. And I wanted to tear him apart. And I remember Pastor Norman jumps in front of me. Alfredo, you can't do that anymore. You're a Christian. I said, get out of my way. I wanted to just tear him apart. And I was so mad. I mean, you know, I'm... You know, short, but when I'm mad, you need a couple guys to hold me down. Yeah. So the guy, you know, the guys told him, you better leave. Yeah. So he left and I was really angry. And so I remember that Sunday I come into church. I want to worship God and I'm worshiping just like how you were worshiping earlier. I love you, Jesus. God, I love you. I love you. And the Lord told me, what about him? I said, what about him, Lord? I love you. I don't care about him. I love you, Lord. And the Lord said, why can't you love him? I said, Lord, you know how he acted to me? He's trying to tell me how to play basketball. You see, what happened? God was trying to dig out of me this deep-rooted thing of hate of someone of a different race. And God was trying to dig out of me. He allowed the situation to happen. And the Lord told me, you love me? I said, God, you know why I love you. And he said, if you love me, then you would love your brother. I said, God, I love you, but him I cannot love. And the Lord said this to me. I live inside of him. And if you truly love me, I will give you the ability to love him. Well, long story short, we became very good friends. But God taught me a lesson that day. I cannot say I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I can't love someone else. I choose to love them. You see, the point of your most challenging relationship is the point in your life that God wants to work in that area. Oh, I got it good here. I got it good with that person. But this person, oh, no, no. But that could be the very reason why your life is stuck today. Because God wants to work in that situation. He wants to allow his love to touch your heart that you be able to love that person. Oh, that person don't deserve it, coach. You don't know what they've done to me. Well, you and I don't deserve God's love. When Jesus hung on the cross and he forgave us of our sins, he was bleeding and dying, and the Bible says he demonstrated his love for us. See, Jesus didn't just talk about his love for us. He demonstrated his love by dying on the cross. He loved you and I even when we weren't even looking for him. He already did it for you and I. And he shows us the example how to do that. To love him. Oh, I don't feel like loving them. Let me tell you what. Love is a choice. A decision that you make. You see, prevailing relationships only happen when we consider others as being greater than ourselves. The Bible says in Philippians 2, going on in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. See, selfish ambition is like, what am I going to get out of this? What have you done for me lately? You know when someone coming to you with selfish ambition and you just see that they're all about themselves. How many of you see those salesmen coming to you and they just want to sell you something? You already know. They just want, you know, and they have to make a living. I understand. I did that in my life. But instead of coming to serve you, they're coming with a selfish ambition because they want to make money. You can see them coming from afar off. Or vain conceit. You ever around people who just conceited? They're so high and mighty that whenever they talk to you, I always experience that they talk down to me. Well, everybody talk down to me. They're taller than me. But they talk in a way where they feel like they're high and mighty. And they talk with condescending attitudes. I know when someone talking down to me with a tone and an attitude. What happened is that causes me to want to get away from them, push them off. Smile at them, hey, but in my heart I really don't want to be with that. But you see, what happened, rather, in humility, everyone say humility. Value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. We are taught by culture that we need to put ourselves first. But the Bible teaches us to put others first. You ever see that whole thing on hats and t-shirts? He is greater than I? Well, according to the scripture, that really we put others before ourselves, you or others are greater than I. What would the world look like if everyone put others before themselves? You know, half the Ten Commandments are how we relate to and love God. The other half are about how we love others. And if you look at it, it's all about putting others before yourself. Put God before you and then put others before you. We make others greater as we put on the mindset of Christ and reflect on the gospel, the good news. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. In another version, it says he emptied himself. Now, he didn't empty himself of his deity. He emptied himself of his reputation, his position. You see, the reason why some of our relationships are not working is because we are full of ourselves. We haven't yet emptied ourselves. And Jesus sets the example for us by emptying himself and made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. You got to remember, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was in heaven sitting with the Father on the throne on the right hand, and now he left the heavenly throne, come to you and I, and he humbled himself, become a servant in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. You see, Jesus said you have to empty yourself. You need to become a servant and you need to be humble. Even obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, I like that word, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How many of you know you either bend your knees now or you're going to bend it later? I choose to bend my knees now. He's Lord. He's my Savior. But you see how Jesus set the example, how he humbled himself, and then he humbled himself to be obedient to die. How many of you know that when you're obedient and you're going to obey Jesus in whatever he's speaking to you, it always calls an area that needs to die in your life. And it's a self-life. And because he did that, Father God exalted him. See, some of us, we want God to lift us up in our workplace, lift us up in our relationships, lift us up in our families, in the community, but yet we haven't yet humbled ourselves. The Bible says clearly that if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. But if you lift yourself up, God will humble you. Again, God gives us a choice. I choose to humble myself. I choose to empty myself. I choose to put on the mindset of Christ. The mindset of Christ means letting the Spirit live through us in every situation and relationship. We are meant to live with the Spirit filling every area of our lives. That is what living in the Spirit is. However, because of the fall, we do not live our lives filled with the Spirit. Instead, we live in the flesh. As a result, our lives are filled with the works of the flesh. Instead of the fruit of the Spirit, including our relationships, we relate to others in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. The flesh, by definition, is selfish. Only by living in the Spirit, we can put others first. You're having a hard time putting someone else first or begin to love someone and accept them is because you're loving them through the flesh instead of through the Spirit. That's why every day we have to cry out to God to fill us with the Spirit. Fill us with His Spirit. When we get saved, you can look on the diagram up on screen, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. How many of you know, remember the day when you invited Jesus and came into your life? Well, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And you, how many of you remember that day when, man, all the burdens begin to roll off your back? Man, the joy of God and felt like everything, like it was new. Because the Bible says, well, we become new creatures in Him. How many of you remember that? When you walk with Him and you felt like your slate was washed clean and wiped clean and all of a sudden you feel like, man, I have a relationship with God. Well, we start off that way. The Holy Spirit is in our life. But the Holy Spirit wants to begin to flow in and through our lives. But what happened is, you can go to the next screen. There's a lot of selfishness and anger and bitterness and pride around our lives. Oh, but the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of us. But God wants to work in and through us. And He wants to turn all those other areas of works of the flesh. He wants to move by His Spirit and transform you. Where selfishness becomes selflessness. Where bitterness becomes forgiveness. He wants to transform those relationships around us. But we have to allow Him to work inside of us first. So the Holy Spirit works in us. We become born again. However, our flesh is still being renewed. That's why they get the word sanctification. You're saved and born again, but now you have to go through a sanctifying process where God wants to clean you up. I give you an easy understanding of this. Like, you know, they always say, you can take a kid out of Kalihi, but you can't take Kalihi out of the kid. You ever heard that? Well, that's not true. You can. You can. Because when you come into the kingdom of God, you come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now you're walking with God. Then now the Lord wants to take those ugly things of the world inside of us. He wants to take it out. It's going to take a lifetime for that to work. And we have to participate with the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to do that. And recently I had a guy who kind of rubbed me the wrong way. You ever have those guys kind of rub you the wrong way, you know? And so you start looking at that person in a very different way. Now, come on now, you know what I'm talking about. You look at them and like, who's this person? You know, and what happened is he started to, you know, irritate me. And I start looking at that person in a very different way. And it's just really was kind of bothering me. And I remember praying and asking the Lord, what do I do? That's what we do. We ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him, this guy has a problem, God. He always seemed to rub me the wrong way. And I have this mentality. I mean, if he grew up in Kalihi, I would knock him out. But I'm not in Kalihi. But God was, see, I was trying to, that person got to change. And God was saying, no, I want to change you. I want to work inside of you. No, that person got the problem, God. You can see how he acts toward me. High and mighty, I take care of him. And the Lord said, no, I want to take care of you. I want to work inside of you. You see, because every one of us, we have areas of victory and things we go through in our walk with God, but we still have residue of anger and unforgiveness. And like what Pastor Evan talked about, those things erupt. We have to deal with those things. So I begin to think of ways in how I can serve this person and bless this person. And just basically love on this person. The Bible says that you pray for them that use you. In Matthew 5, you bless them that curse you. He wasn't cursing me, but I thought he was, you know. But I was going to make a decision, a choice of my heart to love. Let me tell you what, love endures all things. Love overcomes all things. Love never fails. As I begin to humble myself, empty myself of self, and begin to humble and just choose to see him through the lens of the Holy Spirit and love him, God began to radically transform both of us. And I begin to see him from God's perspective. And today we're just walking in, really walking in the Spirit. The Bible tells us that we need to work out our salvation. It's not on screen, but Philippians 2, verse 12, you might want to write that down. Sometimes the Spirit of God will give me scriptures that's not in the notes, okay? We just got to flow. The Bible says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. This is Apostle Paul now talking. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Not yours, his good purpose. But you see what he says there? You need to work out. Now, I'm not talking about work out or trying to work for your salvation. You can't work for your salvation. Salvation is a gift from God that comes to you freely. But however, when God works inside your life, at some point, what's going on the inside and the Holy Spirit working in your life has to come on the outside. Then you begin to love people the way God wants us to love them. That's why we need to invite the Spirit the Holy Spirit to live in us in every area of our lives and in every moment, asking the Holy Spirit to live in us. How do you want me to think? How do you want me to feel and act in any situation or any relationship? What you feed will grow. Either you feed your flesh or you feed your spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 16, so I say walk by the Spirit. You see, this thing is not just a one-time, one-shot deal. It's a walk. It's really a lifestyle, walking in the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You're tempted to gratify the desires of your flesh. Let me tell you, people tell me, how are you going to, you know, how can I get out of that? How can I, you know, overcome that? Walk in the Spirit. Make a choice to walk in the Spirit. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. There's a war going on inside you. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit. What Spirit are you being led by? If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. Let me tell you what. It's a walk and it's about being led by the Holy Spirit. Every day we should come before God, ask God, what do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want me to treat them? I know you want me to love them, but how can I serve them, Lord? And asking the Holy Spirit. But you, it's very important, what do you feed? You feed your soul with. Now, things of the flesh or things of the spirit. Music that you listen to. If you listen to all those sensual music and you wonder why you're feeling like that, it's because you're having all that thing coming inside of you. It feeds your flesh. And you start getting all little, you know, kind of feeling different and you start looking at things around you a little bit different. Why? Because you're feeding your flesh. But I mean, when you feed yourself with the songs of the Lord and you listen to worship songs, let me tell you what, out of that comes a heart that want to worship God. What music are you listening to? Now, I listen to, you know, secular music. I mean, you got those kind of music that are clean. They're not talking about leaving your wife or, you know, that kind of songs, you know. It's really clear. It's okay. But when it starts putting thoughts in your mind and it feeds your flesh and you start doing things that you know you're not supposed to do, you got to make a decision there. I mean, I watch all kind of movies, but, you know, there's some movies that every scene they show is all sex. And you watch those movies, you can't tell me it doesn't get something, get you going. Get you, you know, excited, and you start thinking, wow, why am I feeling like that? What kind of movie are you watching? You're watching those movies, they're all bed scenes? I mean, that's what's in your mind. Oh, coach, are you being legal? No, I'm not being legalistic. Let me tell you what, I want you to be wise. I've been walking this walk for 37 years, man. Let me tell you what. It's not easy, but I tell you something. You can be wise about that. There's three kind of people in the world today. There's the foolish, the good, and the wise. See, the foolish person keep doing the same thing out of the flesh over and over. And he doesn't learn from anything. The good person, he did some wrong things, but the good person learns from his mistakes. The wise person, he doesn't make the mistake, but he learns from the good person's mistake. You can be wise if you read the scriptures. These words are timeless. They're eternal. The things they struggled back then, we're still struggling with it today. And you want to know how to live in victory? You have to walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and let the Word of God begin to flow in you. As we reflect on the gospel, we are reminded of Christ's love for us and what he did. He sacrificed and love changed our hearts toward others and is an example for us on how to treat and relate to others. The Bible says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. For us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know that when we love people, and I'm not talking about loving people that is easy to love the unlovely and to love the difficult person. You know what that is? That's like worship to Jesus. It's like the fragrance of worship coming out of our life. You know when someone chooses to love someone, even in spite of being hurt and being used, when people around you see you love someone like that, even when it's difficult, there's a fragrance that comes out of your life. Then all of a sudden, people begin to be aware of God's presence. Why? Because they know you have no reason in the natural or in the world standard to love that person. And you make a choice to love them. Some of you're having issues or problems with your spouse or with your kid, and maybe because you need to practice what Jesus did. Empty yourself. Serve them. Make a decision that you're gonna love them and you're gonna obey God in loving them. Recently I've been going through some difficult times, and you know, I haven't seen my son for a long time. After the divorce, we would meet regularly, but after we haven't met for a while, and I would try to call him and text him, and you know, I don't know what's being said to him, but I have a difficulty in trying to connect with him. And can I just be honest with you? It really hurt my heart. And cry out to God. And this past week, I was at Kamakana Mall out in Kapolei. I was doing a discipleship time with one of the guys I'm discipling. We were going through the Purpose Driven Life book. I'm talking with him. And lo and behold, here comes Dylan walking right beside me. And I saw him, and we hugged each other. And I looked at him, and I said, Dylan, you know, Coach, I love you. And I want you to know I made a promise to you many years ago, and I want to keep that promise. But I cannot force it on you. There's a reciprocation. And I could see, you know, in his eyes, tears, and we just connected. And we made a commitment that day we're gonna connect regularly again. You see, sometimes when you're praying and you're frustrated, God will work something out and bring them to you. And bring them to you. And I begin to see how the Lord working in that. I think about, and the worship team, you can come. Years ago, I remember my mom, I used to try to share the gospel with her. But we get into arguments. Because I was trying to tell her the truth, but I was trying to tell her in a way that I knew it and you didn't know it. And I begin to just like preach through her, and we get into an argument. My mom is like me, so we just headbutt all the way. And then God told me this. He said, just love your mom. How many of you know you can win a debate and lose a relationship? It's not about winning a debate. It's about love. And I made a choice. I was going to love my mom no matter what. Because the reason why is that when I became 18, I went to a different church at Grace Bible. I became a Christian, and it was very difficult for my mom. She was angry. She was upset with me. But I made a choice to love. Love will always prevail. And what happened is, I remember asking her before, hey, Mom, can you, I see her sick, and I said, Mom, I want to pray for you. And she would run in her room and lock her door because she doesn't want me to pray for her. And I'd be pounding on the door. Boom, boom, boom. If you were outside, you thought we were fighting. Boom, boom. Mom, I'm coming through. I want to pray with you. And she said, no, I don't want your prayers. But when I humbled myself and I said, I'm going to serve and just love her, the thing switched. How many of you know God is all about switching things? I remember my mom was sick and she called me. I was going somewhere. She called me. She said, Junior, I'm sick. I need your prayers. Man, I tell you what, I turned my car around and I drove to my mom. I prayed with her. In the process of that, my mom gave her life to Jesus. It wasn't about a debate and trying to be right. It's about doing the right thing in love. Because love conquers all. I mean, you know that when you got the mom coming into the kingdom, you got the whole family. Well, I have a picture of them. My mom is not in there, but she's in heaven now. But my siblings. Once my mom got in, it opened up a whole door. Then I got my nephews and nieces. I have one nephew, Sean, who wants to be a pastor just like me. He's a campus minister right now training. Why? It's because I made a choice. I'm just going to love my mom. And from that love will come to everyone else, the family. It's about love. One more story. There was a guy who was divorced, ugly divorce with his wife, and they were going to their daughter's graduation from college. And they had to go to the mainland and stay in the same house. And the Lord spoke to the husband or ex-husband, you go and you pray with your ex-wife. You pray for her and you pray for your daughter. And he was like, he texted me, I remember, Coach, the Lord put it on my heart to pray for it. I said, well, if the Holy Spirit telling you that, just do it. Because it's going to be a blessing. You got to remember now, they're hating each other. He make a decision, he goes. And he asked her, can I pray? Prayed with her. The Spirit of God came upon them. They both cried, forgave one another. That opened the door to the rest of the family. They're still divorced, but God's love is working beyond that. And now when I see him and his family, let me tell you what, I know what triggered that thing when he heard the Holy Spirit to go and pray for his ex-wife. What does God say to you? I'm not talking about the areas of your life that are good and all lovey-dovey. I'm talking about the area where you're struggling in right now. That you're having a hard time loving that person. May the Spirit of God fill you up this morning. Change your heart. Let's stand.